save time.
I think you feel comfortable.
We save time if you only take 5 minutes and then an extra 5 minutes of drink.
Just make it easy in the beginning to make them feel comfortable that they get asked. And I don't think of right now that they can't even ask me in advance.
That's fine. What time is lunch?
Lunch is 1 o'clock. Whatever is good for the rock.
Okay, that's good. I'll have to last a few hours.
That's a few minutes early, they don't mind. Yeah. You know. Either way, we're a few minutes late, whatever works out.
Early usually isn't. It'll be on time.
Okay, good.
If it's not a fact, if you see it's around 5 until 1, want to give me a signal. Let me know, because I'm going to usually paint this with a clock for you.
Fine, perfect. Chicago.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
I asked him to leave out the introductions so we can have more time. A few of the brave neshamas sent in a few shaylus. If we touch upon anything that triggers in your mind, something you want to ask, you can raise your hand, please, and ask on behalf of your chaver. That way it'll be well hidden. The truth is that I actually have a few sugyas I want to touch upon. Probably generate some more shaylas. We'll start with a few that were already sent in. We'll call them miscellaneous. And then we'll see if we can get to the sugya. The one I just received an hour ago. Some bacher was going next month to Eretz Yisrael, so I assume that's in a few days. And he had two shaylas. Number one, do you have to take on chumras of the minig hamakom? Also, gim sachim when you have to take on the minig hamakom. When you don't, we live at a time of kibbutz galus, and both in America and in Eretz Yisrael, depending on the yeshiva, but most yeshivas have quite a mix of American bachim, bachim from Eretz Yisrael, from Europe. And it's hard to establish a minig hamakom that you're bound by unless the Rosh Hashiva is a particular maisa and a makbid on certain hanhagas. There was a time not that long ago, maybe 30, 40 years ago, where the Rosh Hashivas had tainas on American bachurim who came to Eretz Yisrael with their shavers and were using them. And the minig in Eretz Yisrael, most places can bachlal probably hold that all shavers are aser. In America, the minig is lahakol, like Ramesha was not a yachid. Chaim Eze already in Europe was mekel. But there are many machmirim. Pashtus l'chafetz Chaim, Chaz Nish, and Shlomo Zalman, and many, many others. And in Eretz Yisrael, the minig was either they weren't shaving or they were using the cream. At that time, when the American bachurim came, they had tainas, rightfully so. Why are you polluting the atmosphere? Yeah, call it that, it's a strong lashon. Especially for all the clean-shaven people here. Well, nobody looks clean-shaven right now, so we're in good shape. But the Mekilim, which is most of the American Olam, to hear a comment like that, a little bit unnerving, but Lamaisa, they were coming from a matzav where the yeshiva was doing one thing, and they really weren't chalukim and hugim. Today, in most of the yeshivas, that's not the case. There are Bachim coming with their shavers, and they're using the shaver, and they're using it barabim, if you call the bathroom barabim, wherever they're shaving in the room. And it's very difficult to say that the minig hamakom in Eretz Yisrael is not to use shavers, despite the fact that most of the gedolim over there hold that it's aser. So that's the one that comes to mind. In fact, I included it over here. And it's hard to say that one must be machmir. In general, with the advent of modern communication, I have various people calling with shaylus throughout the week. I'm always amazed how many of them are from Eretz Yisrael. People in Eretz Yisrael have an American line already. It's only the younger light and often the bachim and the diris, and they're calling like it's next door. Most of you look pretty young. You probably grew up like that already. When I was in yeshiva, they had something called an asimon. Nobody is old enough to even know what that is. And I had to like stuff the machine. And I had like, my parents were living in Eretz Yisrael just to call Rehovot. It took me like 25 of them, and I had 30 seconds. And the different matzav of today. And chances are you'll be either talking to American Peskim there or calling American Rabbanim. So it's not even like you're going to somebody who has a different psak on a sugya and you're going to be bound once you're asked, which you should be if you're asking already. Usually the Americans are gravitating to American Peskim anyway, so it's not that nogea. Part two is actually very nogea, and he wants to know what the iser, if any, in looking in a friend's drawer or a closet in a dira. I'm glad he asked this. I don't know, many of, I hope everybody here is assuming, including the person who asked the question, is also assuming there's got to be something wrong with that. He wants to know what exactly is the iser, hezekriya. I wouldn't, hezekriya I'm a little less worried about, many reasons why that wouldn't apply. But it's certainly, having lived in a dira, in a dorm for many, many years, as many of you either have or will, so there are certain assumptions and presumptions that are made that are extremely improper. Looking is, if it's not hezekriya, he's not growing corn in his closet. So hezekriya, the sugya is, you know, it's not going to shrivel up when you look at it, and the cookie, if it survives you finding it, will probably not shrivel up either. Hezekriya is not the, I know what he means, but it's not exactly the right sugya. It's certainly an invasion of privacy. You'll say, what sif is that? It doesn't have to be a sif, it's kind of pashut. And part of, a big target of hezekriya is any kinna that results of looking at somebody else's possessions, and then they have tainas, and then in Shamayim there's a chamalatzlan, a din, or a gzeira. It's certainly not a good idea, and it's certainly not Ratzon Hashem. What I have had from personal experience, and I'm sure this is going on now, he didn't take the question to the next step, and there's a reason why I mentioned the cookie before. There's an assumption, which is often not correct, that if you have a friend in the dira, or even if you don't know the fellow, you just moved in the beginning of his month, and you have, I think we just lost, and he is shopping often and brings all sorts of interesting things back to the dira, in terms of food and the like. And I'm his roommate, and I'm his friend, and if I wasn't his friend yesterday, I certainly want to be his friend today. And the Mela, he has so many cookies, such a big bag of potato chips. So certainly he had in mind to stomach, he was already mezaket for me. Zachalam Shlopofanov. And if he wasn't, he certainly would be more than happy to have the schus of me partaking. And this goes on all the time. Very modern. Because this is Shaila, these are the races already. This is like, I can't say Aseres Adibris because the Losignev is the is kidnapping. But Geneva is a serious issur unless you know for sure that the trying to raise it or lower it? What?
Let's forget about the microphone. I think I don't get here. I just have to get the video more important.
Oh, I see. Okay, fine. It's, you know, you're not taking it from that. You're not taking it from that. You're trying to hook up another one.
It's dying, so.
Ah, here. Okay. Can you hear me back there? Anybody without it? So, the best way to do it in terms of Lifnei Iver, this is not direct Lifnei Iver. This is like a Madrega, the Chofetz Chaim. There's a Maisa told over, which I doubt happened, or probably didn't happen the way it's told over, but the Ganav once took something from the Chofetz Chaim, and he ran after him, and he said, Amaychel, and it's yours, it's an Amatana. So whether that Maisa happened or not, if you find that whatever stash you have in the dira or the dorm is dwindling, and you haven't eaten that much, and you sort of figured out that either you have a serious rodent issue, or there are some bochum are hungry, it's kedai. Why have somebody, Rachman Lazlan, get an inish of petty geneva and your cheshbon? It's kedai to be mafkir it if you don't want to announce it, to be meichel ahead of time. Or as one roommate that I remember had, every time he bought something, he put a sign, yes, you could take without asking. Whether that was under duress or not, I don't know, but he never ate much. The particular, I'm not sure, Adi Yemezeh, why he was so nice. But you certainly can't lacking a sign or an explicit statement. The sugya is called Suda Shein Maspekas LaBa'alel. When you ask somebody, Beferish, he's standing there, can I have a cookie or two? And he's forced to say yes because he's embarrassed to say no. There the Gemara says, Beferish, that's a form of avakaneva, because you're asking a question which only has one answer unless he wants to look mean and cheap. And you're taking something which is begeder almost los achmed because you're forcing him into it. So if you ask him and he only has a supply and he's not made of money and he doesn't want to keep on going to buy even if he has a lot of money, so you're over on that. And if you take him without reshus, it gets worse. I'm not suggesting that there's no room for chevershaf and sharing and k'nei l'chachover with some cookies and potato chips and licorice, whatever it is. There's room for that, but it let him offer b'lev shalom. It can't be the working assumption. And these are dvarim pshutim. I've said this to many bachurim, and sometimes the pushback you wouldn't believe. So what do you mean? This is a dorm, this is a dira, and these are the unwritten rules. Okay. If everybody's doing that, then it's so pushut that he knows that he's buying and it's to his own hazard and he's spending the money and he wants to do it, fine. I'm very, very not convinced that that's the case. Anybody here in a dorm want to comment? Maybe I'm old-fashioned and the minig is that today they mamish buy it and throw it on each bed, a few cookies, a kazayas, and they're pushing it on their friends. I don't know. Yeah.
What about reading a text while it's your wife's phone?
Are you married?
I'm married.
Okay. Because if you're going out, I wouldn't mention that on a date. it's a serious... yes, Chayda Bagesh, and they didn't have texting then, they didn't have emails. But the point is not to read somebody else's private documents. And I don't see why this is different. There are people who try to argue in vain, in my opinion, that people send out an email, they have to know that an email can be passed around. It's just a problem. It's true, you have to be careful. But not everybody forwards everybody's private email, just most people. And not everybody reads them when they get them, just most people. There are some Elucha people who understand that this is certainly not good for anybody and a lot of damage can be done. And the fact that perhaps in most circumstances, Masha Kansish or Kanabaila is a din of Mominus, it's a din of Maisi Adayim, it's not a din in emails, Pashtus. If you want to, again, before you get married, make this one of your many... long list of tonight kuffle, which I wouldn't, that, by the way, I'm a very curious type of person. I told you all my mailas, this is my one chisaron, and you should know, please tell your friends, anybody sending things, I'm going to be reading. It's not normal mahalach. I'm glad you asked it, because I get this question a lot. It's a little scary. You're just asking on behalf of your friend, but... there's an assumption that this is a spouse and therefore everything is a shes harabim. Not going into a lot of bacham here. I'm not going to go into it proteus, but you need some space also. So and the friend who's sending it certainly doesn't know. Even if your wife's ahead of time, it's still not so pushy. So yes, I'm concerned about chayda menageshi. You can be mechalik that's a closed letter. In the olden times, they used to have letters to actually seal them. And some sealed them with Rashi Tevis, with the Chayin Ben Agashin. With all that said, I am not I'm not convinced that the sender always assumes that everybody else has access. They should, for the safety of what you're sending, but I don't think everybody thinks about it, and I don't think everybody realizes it. I think it's a problem. I think it's a problem of certainly children to parents would be a huge kibbutz of aim, a years of aim issue. Parents to children, then it already depends. Is this part of the chinuch to see that the children are safe and monoshoch. If the child is under the parents' jurisdiction, they probably shouldn't have emails or texting. So, and if they're old enough and they're married, so then the parents wouldn't have the right to do it, and it wouldn't be very smart. So the short answer is no, and I'm concerned. Even if she gives reshus, what the senders are thinking over here. And sometimes we give reshus, and it's embarrassing to the sender, and but that's harder to answer. I saw one more hand while that was up. Anybody
else? A lot of times people are holding someone else's phone or someone's wife's phone, and the text comes in, they can see it right when it comes in.
The phone sounds too smart already. Not all phones do that. So let me make that disclaimer in the first place. And the second thing is that if you're walking down the street and you see the corner of your eye something you shouldn't be looking at, what's the first thing you do? You look away. What's the second thing you do? You continue looking away. So it's not that difficult. Usually you're just seeing a flash on a screen. So I admit it's more tempting, but...
as far as the person sending it, to assume that someone might be able to see it.
Somebody might be able to see it. Again, I think they would. If you send these things, you should be more careful, but that's why I say I can't say vados. The chilik with a ben geshem is the letter's closed. Alpha PK and something flashes on the screen for a moment. Doesn't mean a person has a chance to read everything unless he's trying hard. And the first thing I think you should do, like any other Isser Stachlus, if it's none of your business, you should be looking the other way. So I agree. It's a big enough sign if you happen to be holding it. Of course, the kasha is why are you holding it, which might be the bigger kasha. I'm not saying you, your friend. Yeah. Again?
Pen, yeah.
I didn't hear.
Pen.
A pen. Pens are cheap, and that I already think there is an umdina. The shach, as a machlekes, the tesis, b'metzia, where you can borrow things that rishus. When it's an umdana that he doesn't mind. And the shach is meikol, the shulchan acharav and other achrenim don't go with the shach l'chatchila. So one should rather, if he's standing there, ask for shus. If he tells you, stop asking me in the middle of Seder, it's, you know, if you see it, you can have it to use bim klemai, which often doesn't happen, or often it disappears. If you use it and you really put it back down, and you ask many times and he told you, then it's obviously okay. Otherwise, we don't really go with the shach l'chatchila, so it's better to ask. If he's not around, then you have to write down this chiddush, and it's going to be a davar avid. Then certainly shach kedai lismach alav b'shas adchak. But again, with cookies, it doesn't apply. Once you swallow it, he doesn't want it back. So you know, the little small amount of ink is not going to make a difference. But if it's something that's consumed, then you know, obviously there's nothing to do with that sugya. Yes. No, because having, again, spent many years in a Beis Medrash, I find it very annoying when I'm in the middle of writing my own notes, I put the pen down for a minute to look back in the Rabbi Kiva Eger, and I turn around, the pen's gone. That only happened to me 1,000 times. I can't understand it. It was here mamash a second ago. And now I have, you know, 25 brachim sitting around me. I got to figure out who's holding it. They all look the same. And where's my pen? And now I'm just figuring out what the pshat is, and I'm going to forget it in a minute. So... you're assuming that I want him to write down his chiddush, but maybe I want my pen. So maybe yeah, maybe not, but certainly not pashut. That's if the guy's standing there, you should really ask, he might want it in a minute. And they used to have more pens with caps. The old Bic, you know, you get 20 for a dollar, whatever it is. And the smart people handed him the pen and kept the cap. So at least, you know, when he tries to put it in his pocket, he'll remember it doesn't belong there. But with a retractable, it's a little hard to do that, obviously. Yes, there was one more hand before? Okay. So, Bekitzer, it's wonderful for the Achtus, and if you want to share, let them know you want to share it, but to take liberties in somebody else's possessions is obviously going to be a serious island. Okay, speaking of Geneva, so this is a very common shayla. And somebody actually wrote it in. Is it mutter? The shayla is not nageya for another 4 weeks or so, depending which theory you're holding. Is it mutter to download music from CDs? So it's getting more and more difficult for producers to make any money off of these things because everybody's downloading them. And the Asagas Gvul issue is a source of Parnasa for him, and the Sagas Gvul is impeding his Parnasa. So you have to keep that in mind. It's not only a shayla of is there Din Mechazadina on, is it not? Is it Nageh? You have to come out Din Mechazadina. A lot of these things have all sorts of azharas, the genius, the way some of these are written. Mam Shalom, there's a whole settel over there that it's Geneva Lemafreya, and you can't touch it, and that's the Sagas Gvul, and it's Din Mechazadina, and it's also a few sugyas wrapped up in one CD. Just for the Talmud Torah Shabbat, you should buy the CD. Just when you're reading the front. And whether all of it's chal, some of it's chal, can they, I once gave a whole shiur on whether they have a right to sell it to you all tonight and make it Gneva L'mafreya if you copy it. It's debatable whether they could do that or they can't, but they're trying to send a message that it still means something to us, and we worked hard on this, and we'd like to at least recoup our losses, and you have to keep that in mind. With that said, so he wants to know, is it mutter to download music for all family members from one CD MP3 to put on each person's personal device? So, my answer is, for family members, yes. Whenever I give this answer, all of a sudden the family grows exponentially. Second cousins and fifth cousins of people they never met. And, you know, the expression, when there's a will, there's relatives. So people show up like long-lost brothers. So family members, the assumption is that they assume you can make a copy for yourself, because it's going to scratch very quickly. And they assume that if you're going into your car and you want to listen to it, that assumption they can't stop, and I don't think they're trying to stop. And they also assume that their family members who live with you in the house, and they're going to be hearing it anyway, and they want it on their device. This is already a jump. It's not so push it. But immediate family members, they're living there. I think there's a good side that it's okay. Children, sisters, brothers who married and move out of the house, like, you know, 20 years ago, and they come back to visit just to see what new CDs you got and things like that. That's a little ridiculous, as you can all understand. They have no sheikhs to anything. And you're copying it, so they don't have to buy it. Of course, the next argument, which I was not surprised, is the next line. Somebody else's CD that I definitely would not purchase. So when it comes to mamonis, the mind always plays tricks on you. You have to know that. Everybody starts off being very meshuchid. And in order to have the heter copy, they know that I'm not causing them a hefsid if I wouldn't have bought it. And they decide on the spot that they would never buy it. And some have made nedarim and shvuah that they're never going to buy it. And al das rabim, they couldn't be materit and all sorts of heterim. And then they came to me and said, they're for sure not buying it because there's no way up here locha. They cast. After I say mutaloch, I tell them that it's a very shvach asfar. And it is. Because they, the argument that I only like one song. There's usually one or two tremendous hits, and then there are other songs which are nice, but you wouldn't have bought it. But that's every CD's like that. So to say that you know for sure you wouldn't buy it, and you're posketing for yourself, is highly questionable. The most recent person who asked this said he had a raya that he wouldn't buy it because he hasn't bought one yet. I said, yeah, because you probably are shopping around for a heter to copy everybody else's, which was the case. So he's not used to buying. That's not a heter. Again, we're talking about somebody else's panasa. We're talking about a few dollars. I know it's not a few dollars, $10, $20, whatever they cost. But it's a pretty serious shayla, and whether it's the din b'chazadin aspect, the asagas gvul, mekaper panasasa, but I don't know, out of all the sugis to look for kulus to save a few dollars, you know, is there room to make all in theory? Definitely 100,000,000% no one would buy it. He wouldn't buy it, maybe, but I'm very nervous about it. Then he adds, the singers and producers are fully aware that many people download from each other's devices without purchasing. Does that help? The answer is no, because that's really saying is the producers are fully familiar that a lot of people don't ask shailus, and some people ask, don't listen to the answers, and a lot of people are doing geneva. So they're depending, they wouldn't produce it. It's getting to that point where it's such a losing proposition, it doesn't pay. Then everybody's going to lose out. So we're not there yet, because they're probably making money on the fame and the fortune that comes with it, and they're singing at the chasnas and the downloads, whatever they're doing, but you don't necessarily have to be part of that. Yes?
If someone bought it, somebody lost it. Can you make a copy now from that to someone else?
I'm not sure yet why they produce CDs that are so lousy just from the technology. They almost make them that if you look at them, they get scratched. So why do they do that? There probably is a way. We put a man on the moon already. There's probably a way to make a CD that doesn't scratch. So why are they doing that? The same reason they make everything else self-destruct in 30 days. It's because they want to sell more product. Let's push it like that. We think it's such junk. Why can't they make things? Of course they can make them. They don't want to. That's why the cars are made of plastic, and it fuels the economy. So I think there's a certain assumption that they're depending on the fact that even though we just gave a heter by the scratching, because it's so bad, they would know. If you'd call them, I think they would tell you can make a backup. But the losing of the item, you're tining avamigu that if I wouldn't have lost it and I would remember where I put it, I wouldn't need to make another copy. So I paid already. Why should I pay twice? Well, if you smash up a car and you want to buy a new one, you could say that I could just help myself to in the lot because I already have one already. I did this already once. It's a difficult svara. The scratching is already somewhat of a stretch, but I think it's more valid because the first thing people do is they make a copy, and I think that's already self-understood. Losing it, I don't think, is necessarily the same. Yeah?
There should be people that could have copied it right away.
I think they're depending on a certain amount of sales that people who get, you know... It's a dimian, they're not exactly dimian. I'm just trying to show you there's a chilek between the two. The fact that a person didn't get... like a person who forgot to insure a very pricey item. Then he has this ridiculously usher idea. He's now going to find insurance lamafreya. Insurance lamafreya is geneva. But I've had people say that. It's not insurance lamafreya. I was going to get insurance. I didn't get around to it yet. But I certainly have amigo. I could have bought insurance. So that's certainly that. Everybody's masking is geneva, right? That's pashut. So over here, I could have made a copy. Yes. Again, not a ridiculous swear, but I'm not convinced they're the same. Yeah.
What about the registration in the car where the police officer pulls you over and the registration is expired? Give you a ticket, and he'll say if you go to the DMV. Where
yes, they will. They'll give you that kula, and that's their system. They can give you whatever kula they want. A policeman has an option to let you go. He has an option just to if he thinks you look like a clean cut fellow and. You were driving 90 miles an hour and you told him you're going to a shear, it starts at 12, you want to be on time, and for sure he's going to let you off on that. That's his discretion. There's nothing illegal about that. That's not like bribery, like you shouldn't have smiled.
What about this where he gives the ticket and he says, if you say retroactive, you go to the place and get it.
That's their rule. That's their rule. They allow that.
Police officer
is allowed to...
Stand up
a police officer, I assure you, is not going to do anything illegal to be nice to you. So if he's telling you what to do, then that must be in the system already.
It's not a reason. You can write a ticket that way. You just have that person have to show up in court just not to get paid.
He's writing the ticket what? He's backdating the ticket?
He's writing the ticket from today, and he's saying you could get this and say I had it backdated. You could get the registration now and say that you had it already.
I haven't figured out why, but in traffic court, there's an assumption. I don't go there often. Matter of fact, I've never been there, but people tell me stories how in front of the judge. The judge is sitting there, and the plea bargain, I've heard of plea bargains, but the plea bargain is like so out of the stratosphere in terms of the lack of emes. I'll be nice. Like, has no... how do you downgrade a guy who went 95 miles an hour to a parking ticket? What's the shaykhus of a parking ticket to a 95 mile an hour ticket? But the system is built like that, and it's in front of the judge. The cop is standing there, the judge is standing there. You don't have to be firmer than the judge. So if they know the cops are telling him to do that, then would the Chofetz Chaim do it? Probably not. But we're not, asking you to be on that madriga yet.
You say the same thing by an accountant, that with the accountant decides what you're allowed to do.
No, because the accountant is not he might be a mandated reporter or something like that, but he's you can't assume every accountant is representing enforcement of the law. He's supposed to be, perhaps. But you can't, you're asking, that's a big cool. You're saying, whatever my accountant tells me, I'm going to tell the judge later, not my fault, my accountant told me to do it. I don't know what the judge would say, but the accountant is... unless the accountant did it without your rishus, and then you could taka say, ask him. Which might be a shayla of mesira, maybe, yeah, maybe not. But that doesn't mean if the cop is doing it and he knows he sent many people and knows the judge will stand behind it, if anybody's been to this plea bargaining session in the traffic court, what they put down and what they say has no shaykhus to anything. But that became part of the system. I don't know why. Perhaps in a better century, people are more honest, but that's the way it's working now. So you don't have to be more machmer. Yes?
Is it different than like a clerk in the restaurant? And then if person behind the counter tells you that will charge you less, even though the price is $5,
he'll
charge you $2. You trust him on that, or you have to...
He's doing that because he knows you. You see, an old friend from yeshiva is working behind the counter. See, if you remember that in yeshiva already, he was the one stealing all the cookies, then don't trust him here. The same guy in the dorm. They're given some latitude to be able to do that, but you have to try to assess his honesty very quickly and then assess how steep the discount is. They're allowed to eat, and the workers eat all day and take whatever they want. That's pashut, that's mutter. That's not under the lasas and shabbatisha. It doesn't fit into any of the rules, but it's a similar idea. And if he sees an old friend, and there's a certain amount of room to maneuver, but if you're mesupik, then maybe it's a little bit over the top, and he doesn't have assurance, then no, you shouldn't take it, the fact that he just says it. But a cop, as I'm saying, a cop you don't know, why would he bend over backwards and put himself at risk one iota for you? The answer is he wouldn't. I don't expect him to. Why should he? Doesn't even know you. Just met you now. So if he's doing it, he's doing it because they're allowed X amount. The whole system is interesting. They have a certain quota and they whatever. So if he's well ahead in his month, he'll be a little nicer. And that's part of the system. That's fine. Yes?
But you're actually pleading guilty to, let's say, parking on pavement. I was just going to say, and they said, okay, you're going to be parking. At the end of the day, I went in front of the judge and said, do you plead guilty to parking on pavement?
Is that what they actually tell you? Pamole?
They told me, please plead guilty.
And they don't hold of, like, shtika kaldaya or something? You have to spell it out?
I was with somebody else, and we were both like, how do we say that? So we had this, a swarla, but I don't know if any of the questions pop up. They say, this has been downgraded to parking on pavement. Please, do you plead guilty that you, I said, I wasn't parking on pavement.
That's what it, so this just a riot to what I just said. So they seem to have their own language inside the court of law with the judge sitting there. And the Chafetz Chaim would not say, yes, your honor, I parked in the wrong spot. Chafetz Chaim wouldn't be going 95 miles an hour either. But he wouldn't say those words. Is it us, sir? I don't think so. If this is their system and you are being told by the judge with the cop there that these are the rules, you have choice A, choice B, I believe it's mutter. What?
I'm being told to lie.
You're not being told to lie. By them, apparently what it means is that because the judge doesn't want to get in trouble, just take a step back. Why would the judge do something that's a little fishy? He's going to get in trouble. The answer is no one is least bit nervous about getting in trouble because that's the way it is, and no one will look at this as crooked as it sounds. So if you have a judge who's on the take and he's being bribed, and that's sinisa deraisa a bribe, and Peskim says sinisa deraisa a bribe a gayish judge, no one would have a habit of doing it. And Pesach Shuvah brings down a machlekes if in Europe it used to be like that. In America, don't try this because Baruch Hashem is not true by and large. In Europe, if they'd go before a judge, a yid and a guy, the odds would be stacked against the yid automatically. So believe it or not, the peskim that say over there it's mutter to just even the playing field, and some say it's a chiyuv, because otherwise lifnei iver, because he's going to throw the case in the wrong direction. So you have to give him the money and say, your honor, I don't want you to paskin like me, I just want you to have an open mind. That's not nogea here in America, or in any other civilized country, I hope. Even if it is nogea, it's not nogea, because it's a chil Hashem, and we don't know that. We have to assume the judge might be honest. Yes? The difference is, Hadas Baal Din Kemeidin Dami. So if you would ask the judge over there in your case, judge, I'd be happy to say that I owe you $30. He said, no, you have to say I parked in a bad spot, which never happened. So, it's pretty bad that this is where society is. But this is in a court of law. He's asking to do it. So you couldn't just say, yes, your honor, you had to spell out, I parked, and then they wrote it down? Yeah. You had to sign something?
Yeah, I signed it.
Signed it. I knew there's a reason I don't go to these places. Okay. I don't think it's us, sir, but it's not great. It would be, put it this way, it'd be a massive Kiddush Hashem if you say, your honor, I'm an Orthodox Jew, I can't lie, and give me the $180 version. No, they'll say, you have to say Tachdidib, but you say, look, I'm not saying there's no Heta, your honor, I heard a shear in it, and there are those that are Mako, but I would like to take the high road. It'll be written up in the Journal News, it'll be the first piece of good news we have here. Yes?
One time I went to a local grocery and I had a wig check, and it said orange juice, I forgot the orange juice. The cashier kind of just took another juice and like, he said, it's okay. And it went like this, and like, what do you mean it's okay? It's orange juice here. And he said, no, it's okay, it's the same price, whatever it is. What? think is
a... You should try once to say, I'd be happy to go back, and then they're going to get very angry at you because you're holding up the line.
Yes.
And you should try once so you should know that the Midas HaEmes is something you're striving for. But if they're going to start screaming and yelling, then, you know.
Is that what they did was wrong, correct?
Yes. Yeah. 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 There's a whole other host of questions in that sugya, but not for now and not for...
Why is that wrong?
It's wrong because Midvar Sheker Tirchak is the only Yisrael Chumash where it says Tirchak. Tirchak. Sheker is the thing says black and you're ringing up white. Apples and oranges, literally. I'm not sheikhs. That says you're 100% right, and you should, you know, make a macha just for yourself. So the midah of emes is not lost. Yes.
Follow up from before. Is it
also
to drive 95 miles an hour?
Is it also to drive 95? Yes. Shai's how many yisurim? One is the smart amal and shaseichem on you and everybody else on the road. And then the dina b'chasadina is at least the machlekes v'shainim on this application. And the Chil Hashem is not lost. I had one bacher told me after we got a hefty ticket, and I was telling him this. He said, I hear the first two Din Mechaz Dina is also a Shaila, and the, it was a little reckless. Chil Hashem, he says, not a Chil Hashem. There's a lot of people drive fast. He missed the boat completely. Kish Hashem and Chil Hashem is when you're doing what a lot of other people are doing, but you're wearing a yarmulke. That's what Chil Hashem means. That's the definition. You're allowed to drive within the limits of what normal people do and what the cops allow, unless they're at the end of the month and they didn't fill their quota of tickets yet, in which case they'll stop you anyway. But within the, whatever that, you know, 7, 8, 9, whatever that normal amount is. But it's the Chil Hashem and Kir Hashem aspect is, Pashut, it's not teenagers, many of which are sitting here, and young adults can't imagine, like the person I was discussing this is like, the time Levov said he didn't understand what he was talking about. Chil Hashem. So I was driving very fast. That's like cool. Like, why is that? And he was convinced the cop also thought it was great. I said, I assure you the cop has seen it many times. Matter of fact, that's all the cop looks for. He's seen it 100 times. A Kiddush Hashem, it certainly isn't. And when he sees somebody driving like a Chaya, that's never a Kiddush Hashem, even though a lot of people do it. Ben Taira has to, you know, when you're sitting on a bus and you're screaming at the top of your lungs, even Taira. Certainly if it's Devarim Balma. So there could be a lot of other teenagers from Umas Ha'ilim who are doing the same thing. A Ben Teira has to act with more tznias. Tznias, by boys, certainly is not the length of your sleeve. It's the way you behave. It's the way you carry yourself. It's the way somebody should see that the most edel person on the bus is a Ben Teira. That's very basic. Good for Ben Azmanim, in case any of you people are leaving the Beis Medrash to go anywhere in the next few days. It's important to you wherever you're going, you're carrying that achrayas with you. Yes?
Some products have like a disclaimer. It says you can only refill like the bottle with our product. Like, I've seen on like...
Prescription drugs? Prescription drugs?
Not drugs, like food products. Like soy sauce bottles that are glass, they want you to like refill it with your own product.
People are going back to stores with soy sauce bottles to refill it?
I mean, they don't want you to buy their own product again. They don't want to use like a different, let's say, soy sauce than
they think you're coming back to refill it with their product?
I think they think you'll buy another one.
Well, first of all, you have a tefillah kalem shayla. Let's start with that. If you refill a bottle, so the bottle was bought from Goyim, you don't have to pour out the soy sauce to do tefillah kalem and put it back in when you buy it. When you empty it out, so Amesha is mekel and he says you just created the kli, so Yid created it and it's not chayev in tefillah kalem. Not everybody agrees with that, and they hold once you empty it out, you now have a bottle that was never tabled, and you have to take care of it. That's the first thing. I'm not aware of any product where people would want to do this, and you've seen this?
I've seen it on, like, you can only refill, you can only use this bottle for our product.
Right, they do it by restaurants. Sometimes restaurants will put out, like, ketchup, Heinz ketchup, or really just some, you know, tomato sauce from a big metal container. So it's that for the company. So Heinz doesn't let you use their bottles with other ketchup in a restaurant because they're afraid that people are going to say, oh, Heinz is bad. So what choice? Soy sauce? There's different soy sauce, but they don't want you. And you go to a typical sushi place, you get some
right.
Whatever the bottle says.
You mean like a restaurant owner? Okay, then it would come up. Somebody's running, I don't know, in a home... Yeah, and I understand it, because they're going to go to the restaurant, they're going to pour out a Heinz ketchup, besides the fact that it's Ganeva's Das.
Right.
Why are you refilling the Heinz ketchup with the no-name brand? Because it saves money. And why does it save money? Because it's probably not as good. So you're tricking the customer into thinking that they're getting something they're not getting. That's already a shaila, a serious shaila. You can't repackage something. These are sugyas in the Gemara. You're trying to sell something. You're packaging. You're saying, well, they came to the restaurant already and they bought the hamburger, so they're not going to ask for the money back based on the type of ketchup. Maybe yeah, maybe not. But you're still misrepresenting something. So I think it's going to be us or just as that. And it's a good svara on behalf of the company, is they don't want people to ruin the name of their good company. And you should probably. That's the same thing as the CD. So with a good, you know, with the from years making a panasa, it's a more chametik a shayla. But again, whenever you have a shayla and a possible kula, you have to look at how serious the downside of the shayla is before any kulas. And you know, it's fear now, so no one's shaving anyway. But when the minig is clearly local, certainly in this country. When people are already holding, asking me about a shayla, about using a shaver, and they really want to hear about the sugya, so I tell them it happens to be not pashut, and there are many machmirim, and suddenly when it comes to a lift and cut, you have to understand when a sugya starts off and it's already a machlekes achreinim, whether there's an issa deraisa or not, not a shayla, whether it's a chumro, whether it's the rabbanon, and then you're going to something where Moshe was still alive, they showed him a lift and cut, and he was not happy. He was concerned about it. Based on his own svar of what the heter is, cutting against the shield, the scissor action, as opposed to if the hair is being cut, then it's just being cut by one blade. So you have to know, as people ask me, is there any room to make up by a lifting cut? I said, you have to first understand where the sugya starts from. We're talking about a shayla, is already a serious shayla in the Doraisa, and the most prominent pesik who was Mekel Ramesha himself was very unsure about lifting cut. So why would you want to be Mekel something like that? So over here, again, they probably can't mandate that, and they probably don't have jurisdiction. If it probably come to a secular lawsuit, they probably wouldn't win. So there are many stardom lahokal, but for the simple convenience, it'll take another 10 seconds to go to another. You know, the question is, do you want to even get involved in a shayla like that? Certainly, if it's misrepresenting the product and you're running a restaurant and you're serving it to other people, then it would be a very, very serious shayla. Yes? No.
And secondly,
once it's copied, the beheter. I don't. You can't ask for giving a CD b'matana, but then we'll chum nechem in it, because basically you've then done the same thing in reverse. And one less person who's probably going to swear they wouldn't have bought it anyway is now not going to buy this. So at the end of the day, you're still hurting his panasa. It's not a great idea unless they're again living immediate family members. We'll take one more and then we'll go on to the next one. Yeah.
Can you lend it, Zoe?
Yeah. They can't. You can't legislate against lending, and they would want to, but you can't. And yeah, you can't. Can you imagine you're playing it on a regular speaker system? Somebody comes in the house. You tell them, "Do you own this yet?" Otherwise, you know, please hold your hands like this as you're passing through. So that would be a little bit out of control and very hard to answer. Okay. If you ask, by the way, something here that we don't get to, you could see me after shiur. It's an interesting one. I hope it's not nageya very soon. You want to know, why was a mutter for Nachshon ben Aminadov? Just Achmar Shal Pesach, so it's on his mind. Why is a mutter for Nachshon ben Aminadov to be Meisa Nefesh to jump in? There's a sugya in Sanhedrin that talks about whether Bnei Noach have a chiyuv Yahag Vayaver, and it seems to be, the question is asking that it seems to be Aser. How can he volunteer if Kedem Atayr that didn't have Bnei Noach? It happens to be the maskana of that sugi is not pashut, the machlekes, tesis, and the Rambam, whether the maskana is they don't have a chiv, a melech also, because they're not allowed to commit suicide, versus the seker adina, which maybe there's more to be mekel. The answer, either way, even according to the machmirim, and this is an important akuda for us as well, interesting shayla, the answer is that even in a situation where it's not yahar vayavar, what's the din if it's not yahar vayavar? Is the person allowed to be machmir? Machlekes Tesis in the Rambam. Rambam holds that it's suicide. You can't be machmir. It's a shayla sakana safoshes. Tesis sounds like you can't be machmir. Even according to the Machmirim, when the Machaber brings it down in Kuftan and Zayin, Yeredeya, the din is that if a unique circumstance warrants the fact that somebody's got to be an Achshon, Covet HaTeirah or some sort of Shas HaShmad, most things are Aryahav Yav Shas HaShmad, but even something that might not be, if somebody has to set an example, a Gadol B'Yisrael, even not a well-known Gadol, but a Yid who's going to set an example, then it's Mutter and it's considered a tremendous Chus. So even the Tzad, the Nachshon was a Ben Noach and he wasn't required to do what he did. What he did caused Kriyas Yamtsuf, and it was certainly good for Klai Yisrael and good for the world, and you can always volunteer. According to the theme we were discussing 5 minutes ago, especially Ben Azmanim, wherever you might be going, not only is it a Chayv Kaddish to make sure that whatever you're doing, whatever you're saying, creates a Kiddush Hashem, not Rachmon Leslan, the other way around, there's an opportunity to look for small ways, don't jump at any fires or anything, small ways to make a Kiddush Hashem. Simple etiquette and taking the high road on a lot of these particular shaylas, which maybe they're something to be mekel. They see Ben Terah often, if you're, depending where you are, they've never even met people who look Jewish. And here's an opportunity to go above and beyond to make a Kiddush Hashem. Raila Dover, the Peskim that say suicide is normally also in this situation, hold that it's mutter if you're setting an example in the Dar at Sarach Lakach. That's an important thing to keep in mind. Let me go to two inyanim nogea to Chukasem L'Salechu that are particularly nogea to Bochrim and perhaps to Younger Light. The last sugya night said was Chukasem L'Salechu. It's one simon a year a day, so I never know when I start the sugya based on the questions and what they want to go into. I think it may be a month or two. It lasted 5.5 months. We're finishing this week. So there's a lot to say. This is just going to be a few sound bites. But one, we had about 20 or 25 subtopics to this sugya. It's very nagea, especially here in America. We'd like to think that we're very yeshivish and we're very not involved in society, which in many ways, Baruch Hashem, are true. It's absolutely astounding. Just from the shaylas I got from B'nai Torah all over the place, how entrenched we are more than we think. Just a certain assumptions being made of what's mutter, what's aser. The one that's always very sensitive when you start talking about a chup or anything to do with shaving or hair or payas or lack thereof. So already one of the people in the shir, after we got into it for 2 nights, asked me when this part is ending. I said, why do you ask? He said, I want to know when to come back. So it, you know, understandably gets people a little bit nervous, but the din is a din, the chashas are certainly there. As is well known, as the Mishnah Berurah brings it down, before we actually what the Mishnah Berurah, what is the gedur of Chukasem L'Salechu? It's a pasuk in Chumash, and again, it's a pella that in the Mishnah Le'achreinim, it's a lot written just to try to clarify what's the makar of the Yisr. It has to be something that's not a Vodazar anyway and not Kishu, because if it was, you wouldn't need a special pasuk Chukasem L'Salechu. So what's the gedur Chukasem? So in a very short version, the Ramah brings down the Ma'arik that something that is a minig, quote-unquote, we'll call it a custom just to not get confused, that is around society and looks like the Goyim are doing it and we picked it up and you don't have any logical explanation why it's being done. So at that point, you have to assume, sounds like mitam safik, Amisha Zatruvi says the Torah asid b'vada is mitam safik, the nafkamina is over there, not hakira. You have to assume either it's somewhere way back rooted in Avodah Zarah and the Goyim themselves might not know, often they don't. Wearing green on St. Patrick's Day is a good example. If you never heard of St. Patrick's Day, then you're in good shape. But you ask an average guy, why are you wearing green? I don't know. Minigav Asena Viyadenu, and that's it. So that's where Chukasem starts. So either it's rooted in Avodah Zarah, rooted in Kishuf, or something to do with Pritzus. The Vilna Gaon adds, like Shitas Taisus, he paskins that even if it's a Dvar Shtus, and you're doing it, it's silly. Why are you doing it? Because the Goyim are doing it. So then you're trying to fit into society. You're copying them. So that's also going to be, we're talking about an Issa D'Raisa via Chukasem L'Salechu. You can imagine just from those four rules that you're going to have a lot of things that we might be doing that are under this category. And if you have 5 months, We can go through it. If not, everything's recorded. The Chafetz Chaim brings down from Machzor Shekel. Machzor Shekel has a very strong lashon, Wa'alai Maisa, where he noticed that in his time already, Bochurim were growing chups, and the bangs were longer than they should be. If anybody here is expecting a shear now in centimeters, you're going to be disappointed. We're just talking about the broad strokes of the what the klal is. He was concerned about two things. He was concerned about the chukasayim issue. Why would you want to look like that unless you want to not look like a haimashiyid? That's one problem. And problem number two, it's in hilchas tefillin. He was worried about the chatzitza and tefillin. So it's quite a shaila, especially the chatzitza and tefillin issue. Kafta l'malach tefillin, he's going from his bar mitzvah till a decade or two later, and he's the shel reish was on, but it wasn't on. It was a chatzitza. So this Machzor Shekel is quoted in the Mishnah Berurah, the Aruch HaShulchan, for those who are already sweating. Aruch HaShulchan says, he quotes this Shita, and he says, it's not true, there's no Shir B'davar, it's attached to your head, and there's no Ishul Chatzitza. But many, many Acharonim do quote the Machzor Shekel, including the Mishnah Berurah. What the Shir is, what's Hayne Rabise, what's considered normal, what's not, again, we're dealing with, on the side of Chatzitza, we're dealing with Deraisis. So you just have to know where you're starting off in the sugya. And besides the chatzitza issue, we're talking about the more somebody's into their hair, which besides being an obviously big shter to learning and might be a sign of where the person is holding in the ruchnius, it's something that can affect the mitzvah every single morning and can be an ongoing issue besides shas anachas tefillin in terms of the chukasayim l'selechu, which is a serious issue. We're not going to get into numbers, but the person going to a barber and they're using an electric trimmer and they ask which number, so probably if it's three or under, maybe even more than three, it's not going to leave a huge chup. Usually the people with a lot of hair in the front are going to be telling him when they sit down, don't go near me with an electric razor, and a scissor will do, and even that, you can leave most of it out. So Shaila's not going to come up. Shaila does come up. This is not a chukasayim issue, but once we're on the shaving, we'll include it. The Machaber brings down that the 5 points of the face, which is for Pasa Zalkan, is an isra only if you're using a tar. Shaila says, what's a tar? So a tar is either a razor, or if you don't hold like a Moshe and the others, it's a shaver if it gets a close enough shave. If you're leaving a stubble already, it's Mispraim Kain tar, which is mutter for the face. Pasa Roish, which is the 2 points on the head, one on this side, one on that side. As a big machleik is where it goes, but it starts from the top and it cuts down at a somewhat of a diagonal. Shaila is to the front of the ear, the top of the ear, where exactly it goes. Here already the Machaber brings down, this is unusual, when they have a stam and a yeshayim in the Machaber, usually pass make the stam. You want to be machmer, you can be machmer. Here the Machaber brings down the stam is like the rishayim that it's only also batar, like by shaving of the face. And then he brings the Yeshayim, even Misparim Kentah, which would be an electric clipper at a very low setting. What exactly that is, I don't know how much hair do you have to leave. Some say, Kadei Locha Roshali Karo, to have the hair and bend it back. Or some say, enough to grab, it's Machlekes. But if it's a zero, or a double zero, a triple zero, and you're touching that point, that's going to be already a problem with the Yeshayim. What's unusual over here is the Machaber says, Yesh Lachosh L'Devrayim. Machaber himself says you should be a Machmer for the Yeshayim. And just a common thing, once we were talking about shavers and haircuts, when you sit in that chair and they use the electric trimmer, if you have some sort of guard, even to bring it to a 1.5 or a 2, you're in much safer territory, preferably a 2. If it's under that, or under certainly under 1.5, under a 1.5, you better make sure that enough is being left in the front. Now, if you have payas and you're getting a normal haircut, so then you're going across and stama, whoever is doing the haircut, so the mikvah already is trained and is taking care of it. However, if you're not and he's going like this, just up, they usually make a nice circle. if they're pressing against skin where the hair is already growing out, that's already a problem. Which I'm sure you've heard before. It's a yesh. I can't say you could tighten on the guy because it's a yeshayman. But the machaber over here says yesh lochosh l'devrayim. So it's kedai to tell him to leave a little bit more and not go up that far. That you're actually going to the actual root of the hair. It's just an important mamakom to know. If you cut with a scissor and you cut the hair down to its root, that's already misbrayim kentar. It's not a din in the electric clipper. It's a din in how close you're getting. They're going to do more with the electric one than they are with the scissor. The scissor, just tell them to leave a little more and you'll have to get a haircut more often, or you'll fix it with your own shaver. And the downside over here, it is, according to the sheet, is a whole Mitzrayim Ketai Zasa. It's a Shaila Vinitz Dereisa. So Shaila, how close is close and how many hairs you have to cut off to be able to scissor. But again, you're dealing with a Shaila Vinitz Dereisa. Why take a risk? Okay, there are two more. Only have a few minutes left. Let's get down to the... I'll touch upon birthdays. This was a big sugya. For those of you who are celebrating, you have what to be samech on. Start off with that. Yes?
Is there in the car, if you go to a non-Jewish barber?
If you go to a non-Jewish barber...
Have a shame.
No. Yeah, the makar is the gemara when it used to be chashash sakanas nefashos. And then there's a shaila with the mirror, the whole sugya of Avodah Zarah. Nowadays, Baruch Hashem, there's some Rachman Leslan, Leilin, of violent people out there. Most of them are not in the barbershop, so it's not really a concern. Zedinyan Alpi Nister, to get Dafka by Yiddish barber. What? Not really. I mean, Halach Lamaisa, it's not a problem. You don't have to be concerned with it.
What about creams?
Creams are fine. Now, there's just a shaila of... there's a misconception that the hardest punim of a beard is a chassidus shazach. It's not true. Chassidim obviously very stark in it. Reb Chaim, did you ever see Reb Chaim shtickel on growing a beard? He is very, very strong on the issue. Very strong.
How come Reb Chaim Kanievsky's holds that you should have a beard?
He's recently, anybody goes to visit, he actually presses the point very strongly. That's what you're referring to. He's always held like that. The Chaznish held that shavers are usher. The Stipler held the shavers are usher. And when he sees a clean-shaven American, he probably guesses that he's using a shaver. So that's number one. And number two, there's a big Inyan Alpi Nister, even if you don't do everything Alpi Kabbalah, to have a beard. And Reb Chaim says in his tikkel that there's a Shaila Chukasayim L'Selechu in his opinion. The reason we hold it's not Chukasayim L'Selechu is because enough people are doing it already, enough Yidden are doing it, that it's not specifically a Goy Shazach, and therefore it's Mutter. That's the Tzad L'Hokol Ne'inyan, but Reb Chaim is, and many others are not happy about it, and Sphere is a good time, even... if you can get away with it, I was told when we were discussing this in Shir that the good news is, even in the workplace, there was a guy who was working on Wall Street, he said, the good news is, beards are very in. So I figured he was talking about a small little beard. He said, no, it's the mamish, there's a guy in the office, he's mamish holding. A guy. Then if you dafka grow a long beard to look like him, they made me... You start chukasayim l'selechu issue, but that's a little hard to say. You know, a rumor of Avon said to grow a beard is chukasayim. That's not what I'm getting at. Okay, you had a question before? Your hand was up? No? Okay, so the birthdays. The Mekilim hold, if you celebrate a birthday, you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for living another year, Kavaldi. Say some nice divrei hadaya, some nice divrei teri, and you're good to go. One second. Many hold that it comes from the Gayim as Chukasayim because we never had a minig and Sfardim have more tshuvas for it, Ashkenazim more against it, but there is yesh v'yesh in either camp. And I will say though, if you are having a birthday at any age, if you have something, if you think about it for a moment, it looks like a funny custom, you know it's not a Yiddish Shazach. Anything to do with fire is already suspect in Chukasayim Sugis. Because fire is always there. All the Avodah Zarahs had fire gods and all sorts of things, and the Olympic torch as a whole. It's to do with the Greek fire gods. Everything is suspect. They have candles. They're putting candles on a cake. Already very modern. And blowing out candles. Well, many of them don't blow out candles at all. So you already know it's not coming from us. Having candles, blowing out candles, making a wish. I would strongly suggest you leave all that out. If you happen to like cake, okay, so you want to serve a cake, It's hard to say that's an Issur Chukasem L'Salechu, but the candles, the blowing out the candles and the wish certainly doesn't come from anything Yiddish. And if I care, if you trace the sources, it does go back to old pagan customs. And a lot of the things that are strange, Chalamoid, I spoke about this in Shir about a month ago. Chalamoid, somebody came to ask me, they're walking in a park and they came upon a beautiful fountain, a nice water, and it was sprinkling out. And they looked inside, there must have been $1 million in there, in pennies. So they did what everybody else did. They asked the mother for a penny or a coin, they threw it in. So this particular person had heard that I mentioned this in Shir and there might be a problem. I said, might is the only word that's incorrect over here. I said, did you ever stop to think about it? Could a Yid have a minute to throw away a coin? I mean, just picture the scene. Just toss it into the water, just like that. There's not, so I researched it. It took me 10 seconds. Water was very rare, was very scarce in Europe. People were very superstitious. They were all pagans. They were all Avodah Zarah. And when they finally had a well that worked and could actually get clean water out of it, they used to put a statue there, their Avodah Zarah. And when they used to go to the well, they were so happy to get fresh water that they used to want to thank the gods and make a wish. And they used to take a coin and throw it in and make a wish. That's why the Issur D'Oraisa Chukah is saying, you don't have to know the history. You just have to think about, why am I doing this? Is this minik from the Ramah, Magen Avraham, Machzor Shekel? Where does this come from? If it's none of the above, check a Ben Yishchai, a Kafachayim, a Zayar, an Arizal, a Baal Shem Tov, just check somewhere. If you don't find it anywhere, you have to start worrying. And when in doubt, leave it out. That's the basic rule. Of course, I mean, without giving Shia and the Sugya Chukah Sam, somebody would ask me, I never thought about it, because I never threw a coin into a fountain, but if I would go buy a coin, they would ask me, is this a Yiddish Aminig? Obviously not. Not because you're throwing away the coin, it's because the whole thing looks ridiculous. The Chukah Sam is when it looks silly and you don't have a reasonable explanation. So on the Chalamai trip, if you did it already, you did it. If you're going somewhere else, don't do it again. Yes?
By the birthday wish, isn't there
So there's, I knew somebody was going to ask that. Yeah, so there is a makar for maybe giving a bracha or getting a bracha or davening on your birthday. It might be a shas akasher, but blowing out candles and making a wish, having candles in your thing is not a Yiddish azah. That's for sure. Blowing out candles, we're trying to do anyway. It's not an isser. It's not an isser because it's not listed in the 365 lavim. What? On the Nair. The Nair is in a Shama. It's not a skula. It's not a, but that doesn't create an Isser. It's something our grandmother told us not to do. And if your grandmother said don't do it, then don't do it. But it doesn't create an Isser. But if you're blowing it out because that's the custom on birthdays, because the guy is doing that, that's a problem. Okay, we'll take one more and we'll let you have something to eat. Yes?
Can you collect the coins from the
garden? Oh, you want to make a big Chil Hashem, like just put your bandy suit on and go in and the cop asks you what you're doing. You're just saying you're trying to pay for the ticket he gave you last week. It's also illegal. There's probably a sign there, please don't go in. They probably have a sign now, please don't throw in coins. Again, the source is easily traceable. The Goyim want to know what the sources are, and most of it's easily traceable to pagan customs, which is why it's usher. Okay, everybody enjoy the rest of the Ben Azmanim and keep shagging. Did you make it or it ran out?
It ran out.
Hi,
there.